Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em, from the beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. Today, I'm really excited because I'm here with my friend, Sif. Sif is an international travel blogger. Her blog's called Icing and Glitter. She also recently started the Dream Bigger podcast. She's currently based in Toronto, although her Instagram will lead you to believe she lives out of a suitcase as her pics are serious hashtag travel goals. And I can really never keep track of where she is in the world. So Sif, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. What an introduction.
I'm so excited I could catch you too while you're here in London.
It really worked out.
Yeah.
It's also so very strange being the one being interviewed because I feel like I'm always the one like asking all the questions and doing the intro. So this is really fun.
Isn't it fun to be on the other side? We just recorded a podcast episode reverse. So for Sif's podcast. So now we're turning the tables.
Yeah.
So really quick context just for the audience on how we know each other. Mm-hmm. We met like, I think it was a year ago or two.
I think it's been more than a year now. It was last year, February, I think.
Yeah. And we met through our other blogger friends, Tanya and then Ash, just at an event. And then from there, we've been in touch. And every time you come to London, we get to catch up and it's so fun.
And this time it's over podcasting date.
Yeah,
I like it.
I love it. Okay, so quick icebreaker question. Mm-hmm. What are the first three things you do in the morning?
So I don't look at my phone first thing in the morning. So what I do is wake up, do my skincare routine, which we can get into later because it's a whole situation.
Yes.
Then I make myself... I drink a whole like big bottle of water. Meanwhile, boil some water, have that with apple cider vinegar and lemon and meditate. So I guess those are three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Getting a nice start to your day.
Yeah. I have to be zen in the morning.
Okay. We just talked about this, but tea or coffee?
Coffee, specifically bulletproof coffee.
Yes.
Like it's just the best thing ever.
Yes. Yes.
So for your audience, if they don't know, bulletproof coffee is made with coffee, MCT oil. So that's medium chain triglycerides, which is extracted from coconut oil. And it just puts your body into fat burning mode. And I put also grass fed vanilla bean ghee from Fourth and Heart. And I am obsessed with it. And
it
I put a little bit of cinnamon.
I'm literally going to go and order this when we're done because we were just talking about this.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I like honestly I can sing about it. Like it's so good.
Feel free.
So good.
I love it. Okay. So we're gonna nerd out on podcasting for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to chat with you on sort of your podcast. And I know when I was about to get ready to launch mine, you were so helpful and gave me tips. So when did you launch and sort of what motivated you to launch your podcast?
So I launched last October, so October 2018, and I had actually been thinking about this for a year. So I started thinking about it honestly like October 2017, and that's when I really started traveling thoroughly. So in October 2017, I sort of relocated to Paris for 6 weeks, and that's when I had this idea. I was like, I really want to start a podcast where I speak to different experts in fields that I'm interested in, which is wellness, fitness, beauty, and business. But I guess I just, you know, you tell yourself like negative self-talk, like, oh, like you're going to take this on. What if it goes badly? Like you don't know what to do. You've never had experience with audio, like 100 different bad things. And like the thing is also that there's not a lot of resources out there explaining to you like, oh, like what kind of equipment, like how you edit. And it was just so much to like kind of figure out how to get started. And I think like that scared me, which is a terrible excuse. So anyway, what happened was I was just feeling really unfulfilled with just my blog because I wanted to introduce other voices and speak to other experts because I'm someone who has a very curious mind and I love to speak to people. I like to learn from other people. And I wanted to introduce that component to my audience. So last summer, so summer 2018, I was visiting my parents and because I take that time off a little bit to do more back-end stuff, I was like, I really want to start this podcast. So let me see what would happen if I emailed like my dream guests. If they say yes, then I'll buy the equipment and I'll go for it. And so I did the most ballsy thing ever. Emailed these like people who I could never think would say yes. And lo and behold, my like number one dream guest said yes. And I was like, hey, here we go. And I bought all the equipment and I did it. And it's been the best decision I ever made.
Wait, I love that. That's amazing. Wait, so who was your dream guest?
So Dr. Nigma Talib. So okay. She's actually episode number two. So episode number one is just me introducing the podcast and she's episode number two.
Okay.
So she is a naturopathic doctor and skin expert.
Okay.
And I read her book and I thought it was absolutely incredible. And I remember like, as I was reading the book, I was like, God, like I would love to chat with this lady and like bring everyone the information because what she's saying in her book is absolutely incredible. And then again, like this was like early 2018. And I was like, forget the stupid podcast idea. And then like, when I was thinking again over the summer that I want to start this, I was like, I'm going to email her and like, she will be like my answer as to whether I should start this podcast or not. And it's crazy that she said yes. And I was so happy. So
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sign from the universe.
Totally. And it's funny because I guess you and I both share sort of similarities in why we started it. We were feeling a little bit, not lackadaisical, but, with Instagram, getting a little bored with it. I guess that's how I've been feeling lately.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
You do the same thing for long enough. Like you've had your brand for like 4 years and I've had mine for around four as well almost. So like, yeah. I mean, we've both been doing it for enough time that, you kind of want to diversify. And for me, it was really important to bring on those voices and create sort of an extension of the Icing and Glitter brand. And this was the best way to do it.
Definitely. I love it. So what are your sort of tips and advice for someone who's looking to start a podcast?
Just do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. So if we're talking technical advice, obviously I'm not available to advise everyone, but I specifically looked to Pat Flynn and you should go check out his YouTube channel if you are looking to start a podcast because he outlines like the kind of equipment you need and like just the basics of like even uploading your podcast onto like iTunes, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. Like for me, I was nervous about the technical things and like he really broke it down. And then aside from that, if we're talking equipment, like honestly, I forget the website name, but I can pass that on to you to put on the show notes or whatever later on. But there was a website that I used that like went into details about like the different kinds of mics, like the recording devices, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Getting it onto iTunes and whatnot, not difficult at all. Like my main piece of advice is just do it. Start reaching out if your point of like your the format of your podcast is to interview people, start reaching out.
Yeah.
The worst thing you'll hear is no, which is not even a bad thing because it just, gives you a thicker skin and just rejection is a part of life.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, just do it. It's a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah. I think when I was first starting, I was looking at equipment and then that's when I came to you and I said, hey, this guy emailed me back. He recommended that I get this entire list, which added up to, I think it was like over 1,000 pounds worth of equipment. No. And then I had also done some quick Googling and all of that. And you had said, no, just get two mics, get the Zoom recorder. You need something to record it on. So, the Zoom recorder is, a pretty popular one that you'll see. And then headphones are good, but just to start out, it's like bare bones.
It's absolutely not necessary. So I told you this, remember that I got two pairs of headphones and then like another thing for my guest to hear the thing as well, like another headphone. I don't even know the technical term for it. So stupid. I didn't need any of it, but okay. I wish someone had told me all of that. And I'm glad I was able to pass on that advice to you, because what you have is perfect. It gets the job done, and that's what you need.
Yeah. And then you can always upgrade later, obviously.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'm upgrading now, but I've been doing it for like over like almost 4 months now. So it's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. And do you listen to podcasts like in your everyday or?
I do. Yes. Okay. I love podcasts. I love audiobooks. Some of my favorites. I love the Goop podcast. I love the Gold Digger podcast. I sometimes listen to Soul on Fire by The Balanced Blonde.
Okay.
Love the TSC podcast. Those are probably like my favorites.
Yeah, same. I love the TSC podcast.
Oh, and Tim Ferriss.
Goop. Tim Ferriss.
So good.
Great. It was funny. Have you listened to School of Greatness, Lewis Hose?
I've heard a few episodes here and there. Is
he's
it good?
Been doing this for a long time.
Like forever.
He's
like an OG.
He was one of the first ones that I listened to.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to get a little bit just into your sort of background, your career, sort of how blogging full-time kind of came to fruition for you.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before you started Icing and Glitter?
So I've always been a creative at heart. So a little bit of a backstory as to how I started, I guess. I went to fashion school at Condé Nast College, and for my undergrad degree, I didn't study anything to do with journalism, like nothing creative. My undergrad was pre-law, and it was only after I graduated that I was like, okay, no, like I really want to do something creative. So that's why I went to fashion school. So when I was in fashion school, one of the pieces of advice we got was like, if you want to work at a magazine, you should have a blog to show them as like a portfolio. So at that point, I was more interested in doing PR, and I had a PR internship lined up for right after I finished my diploma. So I did my stint in PR, meanwhile kind of starting Icing and Glitter. And while I was in doing my internship, I was like, I hate PR. It's not for me. And I love to write. At the end of the day, like that's just what gets me going. And I really want to work for a magazine. So I applied to work at Elle and took my blog to them as like a portfolio. I was like, hey, like I don't have much. I've done like some freelance writing, but here's my blog. Anyway, I ended up getting that job, and I just kept Icing and Glitter going. I just kept it going. I would work on it on weekends. I just loved the creative freedom that I had and the fact that I could write about whatever it was that I wanted to write about. I loved the fact that I was able to wear a lot of hats, because when I was working at Elle, I absolutely loved my time there, but I was just in the fashion department and I was sort of confined to that. Whereas having my own platform, I could write about whatever I wanted. And, you know, it was just a creative outlet for me. So that's sort of the beginnings. Okay. And then I quit my job at Elle in summer 2016 and went full-time with Icing and Glitter, and it was the best decision I ever made.
I love that. So going back to that time period, which I'm assuming was like super crucial for you, what was that like? Was it scary? Were you just like all in on the blog? Like how was that?
So, I mean, I think it's always scary to quit your full-time job that gives you, you know, a steady paycheck to take a chance on yourself on something that you, I mean, I wasn't stupid. I wasn't like, oh, like I've never made a dollar from this and I'm just going to go full time. Like I was definitely making somewhat of an, like I saw like good prospect definitely. Yeah. And that's why I decided to go full time with it. Certainly scary, but I just knew that it was time to move on. I also saw that the future was digital, and that if I had, like I never started my blog with the intention of turning it into a business, but I think I'd like to think that I'm business savvy. And if I think that my prospects are better, you know, doing something that I already have rather than working for someone else, that's what I'm going to pursue. And that's what I did. And, you know, I love that I can work for myself. I love that I have that creative freedom. I mean, there's so much about having my own website and my own like small business that I love. And I'm so glad that I took that chance on myself and kind of just went for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so people always ask me this sort of like, how do I classify myself? Do you call yourself a micro influencer? Do you classify yourself as a digital influencer, blogger, kind of all of the above?
So I hate the word influencer. I just think it's thrown around so casually, and it's just lost. It's, I don't know, like people just, everyone thinks they're an influencer. And I also hate the connotation of feeling that like, oh, like I'm the one who influences my audience. Like, no, my audience can do whatever they want. And I feel like they have such like a strong opinion and brain of their own. I'm not an influencer. Yeah. I like to think of myself as a content creator because at the end of the day, I am a creator and I just like to put information out there for whoever wants to take it. And I hope that I can impact my audience in a positive way by adding, you know, helping them live their best life. So yeah, I call myself a content creator and blogger, of course, because I do have a blog.
I'm with you. I definitely prefer content creator.
Oh, I feel like the term influencer just needs to die. Like it just needs to go away. Like, I don't know. I want to talk to like all like brands and be like, can we stop? Like, let's come up with another term.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, blogger doesn't really necessarily make sense for everyone
either. It doesn't. Like there's people who just work on one platform. Like, you know, if it's like YouTube or Instagram, whatever it is, I don't think Instagrammer covers it. If you are just on Instagram, right. I think there needs to be a different kind of term that is all encompassing, but influencer needs to go away today.
I hear you. And how did you come up with your blog name, Icing and Glitter?
So it's funny. When I was actually growing up, like all throughout high school and throughout college, I thought that I was going to be a pastry chef. And my life's dream was to sort of have like my own business. And I thought that when I would graduate from college, like perhaps I would just start doing like catering for like cakes and stuff. I ended up working in a kitchen when I was in college, like just as like a line cook. And it was just like the worst time ever. I hated it. I was burning myself and people were yelling at me because I was like, I'd burn myself and then they'd be like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, just keep going. And I'm like, my hand is burnt, you know? And like, I'd be the only girl in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Everyone was swearing. Oh my gosh, it was so horrifying. Like, and I was just like, okay, not for me. And I had actually already gotten to culinary school and I decided not to go and decided to go to fashion school instead.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, like that's how the name came about. And it was more so like, because it was like more like baking and I loved baking. I named it Icing and Glitter because I was like, it's going to be pretty cakes and stuff. Like that's the, like Icing and Glitter was the business name I'd come up with for myself if I had a catering business, which never panned out. But then I was like, okay, well like I have this name and I really like it. I'll just call my blog that too, like since I'm launching it. So that's how the name came about.
I love it. It totally works. And it's got that like little nostalgia piece for you.
It's a cute story. I think it works, you know, and like, even though like, obviously like my style isn't glittery. I think
you're in black leather pants and a black.
Literally. But I don't know. I feel like it's still fun and it's I feel like it has like a positive ring to it, which I love.
Yeah. I love that. So if you were going to give sort of biggest piece of advice for someone, maybe they're just starting out on Instagram, what would it be?
If they're just starting out, I think do it for the right reasons. I think intention is absolutely everything. I think if you're going into I never went into this thinking, oh, like I'm going to make money. This is going to be my job. I did it because I just wanted to be creative. And I think that for anyone starting out, just create, you know, do it with the right intention, share what you love, pour your heart into it and see where it takes you. I think that's probably like the most valuable piece of advice I can give you. And then if we're talking technical, strategy, like be kind to your audience. Like your community is everything. I think everyone needs to put their community first. Like if someone asks you questions, if someone is asking you, like saying something, like a comment, you know, always respond back, take the time to DM, be kind and interactive. And I think that that is probably like, two pieces of advice, technical and.
Totally. Yeah. No, I love that. I couldn't agree more with you. Mm-hmm. Especially just on like the community piece too.
Yeah. You do a great job as well. Like we discussed this just before we started, like recording this, but Em does a great job as well. Like I think you're incredible with your audience and like you can tell that you've built a strong community, which is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get into your area of expertise, which is travel. And yeah. I love this. When I first met you, I was so confused because we met in London, but you were like, no, I don't live here. And I'm like, but your Instagram's like all London photos. Like, yeah. What is happening? So you travel to London a lot. Mm-hmm. Are you back and forth? Are you, you're based in Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Toronto is like home. Like, it's where I have my apartment and everything. But especially last year and in 2017, I went back and forth from London a lot. I think last year I was probably here like 4 months of the year. Wow. I love London. Like, I went to school here. My dad grew up here, and I used to come here a lot when I was little. I go back and forth. I love London. I feel like it's a good base in Europe, and I have a big audience in Europe. And, you know, I think it's important for me to keep that sort of tie to Europe. And like, London is my like third biggest audience after the US and Canada, New York and Toronto rather. And, you know, I think it's good. And I love the place. So I come back as often as I can.
Nice. Yeah. And it makes sense for you to have a presence too, especially if your audience is
100%. Like, yeah, absolutely. And it's so photogenic. It's so beautiful. I feel like there's always something to create here.
Yeah, totally. What do you think makes London sort of unique in comparison to other cities that you've been?
Well, I love that it has, this is the best way for me to explain it. I think it's like what I call it is New York of Europe. It has like a culture of hustle, which is not necessarily like a part of other parts of Europe. And obviously it's English speaking, so it's easy for me personally because I'm not proficient in any other language. Like, I speak a little bit of French, but not enough for me to live in Paris. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it has that like culture of hustle. It obviously has so like such a rich history and so much, so much to it. And I love that it's so multicultural. It's such a culturally rich city. And I feel like everyone can feel at home here, and people are just so lovely and warm and welcoming. And there's so much to the city that I love. And I also think that if you're creative, I think that the opportunities are really limitless. Like, if you work in fashion, mm-hmm. there's so much here. It's one of the fashion capitals. Yeah. It's a creative hub. I could go on and on. I love this city.
It really is a creative hub. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite neighborhoods to shoot most Instagrammable?
Marylebone, Mayfair, love Covent Garden, although I've shot way too much there, so I kind of stay away. Notting Hill. Yeah. I would say those are probably like my favorites.
Okay. What about just for like a casual like Sunday afternoon, maybe you're grabbing brunch?
Notting Hill, because it has like all the superfood cafes, which I love. I'm like very particular about what I eat. Yes. So Notting Hill I love.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time in Chelsea as well. Every time I come to London, I'm usually living in Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Love Marylebone as well. Neighborhood is like amazing. So
good segue for us. Restaurants and cafes in London.
Ooh, okay. So cafes, I would say, oh man, this list is long. Pharmacy I love in Notting Hill.
Yes.
Granger & Co. is amazing. I'm going to give you a name. It's that cafe that I always go to. Juice Baby. Oh my gosh, their acai bowls are
amazing.
What's it called? Juice Baby.
Okay, and that's in Notting Hill.
Yeah, they have one in Notting Hill. They have one on Kings Road in Chelsea as well.
Ooh.
I would say like one of the top five acai bowls I've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. And they always modify it for me. In Chelsea, when I was here over the summer, the apartment I was living in was across the street from the Juice Baby on Kings Road. And I was there every morning. I became like friends with all the staff. I'd go there and they'd just know exactly what I wanted, which was like a modified acai bowl with like less banana.
Okay. So I'm like an acai bowl newbie. Like,
oh my gosh, you gotta go here, girl.
Okay. So if I'm like a new to ordering an acai bowl, like what should I order? Like, I literally have no idea.
Okay. So you gotta go to the right place. Okay. For me, this is specific. Okay. I
love
it. Hate the taste of raw bananas. Okay. And so if a raw banana isn't an acai bowl, it's a deal breaker for me, right? So it has to be like the right amount of ripeness. If it's overripe, it's almost better.
Okay.
The banana has to be frozen and it cannot have too much fruit in the acai bowl. Like, I'm talking like, honestly, like the base should really just have acai, banana, like nut butter and like whatever, like if they're using like some kind of nut milk or whatever.
Okay.
But that's it. Like, I don't want any like berries, shit like that up in there. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah,
like,
no, please do.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about acai bowls, yeah. Clearly. And then at the one in Juice Baby, yeah. What I love is I ask for half banana and they put like a tablespoon of date paste, which is really nice because it gives it like a little bit of sweetness as well.
Okay.
You got to go here.
All right. I'm probably going this week. So
yeah, you have to. It's like the best thing ever. Okay. Restaurants, love Andina. They have, they have one in Notting Hill and in Shoreditch as well.
Okay.
I love Roca for sushi.
Ooh, love Roca. Okay.
Dishoom is amazing.
The best. Oh, egg non roll. It's go for breakfast.
Oh my gosh, so good.
It's so good.
Why is it so good? I don't even know. It's like crack. Like, I don't know what is in there.
There's some kind of like tomato paste situation happening. It's so and then like the egg is runny.
It's amazing.
And there's two eggs. So like you only need one non roll.
Oh my gosh, it's a good so situation. Good. Yeah, that one is, I love Dishoom.
Yeah.
What else? Oh my gosh, I have such a long. Oh, I love Monmouth Kitchen.
Okay.
Yes. It's like Covent Garden. Okay. They have this lamb cutlet situation, which is, I don't even like lamb, but there it's, I don't know, man. Like I can't, it's just okay. So good. Okay. My parents were here over the summer. We went there so often. They knew us. Like it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Chocho Mate as well. I love.
Okay. I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's so, oh my gosh, it's so good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's a hefty list.
Okay. No, that we got a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So your travel guides are like kind of everything.
Thank you.
And I feel like your travel content, you do it well. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to Greece this summer, I went to Mykonos and Santorini. You were one of the first people that I hit up.
Yay.
And you were like, hey, check out my guide. And I remember I hit a bunch of places on your list. So with that, what are your favorite cities to go back to?
Mykonos, one of them.
Mykonos, yes.
I'm obsessed with Mykonos. Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Love Mykonos. Love Tulum as well. Bali. I would definitely go back to Marrakesh. I go back to Paris all the time.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, same. I think once you're in Europe, you do like even day trips, like overnight trips in Paris. It's easy.
Yeah. And Paris, like I've spent so much time there. Like I was there for 6 weeks in 2017. Like I got an apartment there and everything. It almost feels like a second home to me.
Yeah.
I know the city so, so well. So yeah, Paris is another good one. Obviously New York, LA.
Yeah.
So I think like that's like a pretty big list. Yeah. Yeah.
Favorite city in Europe? Is it Paris?
Ooh, no, I would say Mykonos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, or actually, between Mykonos and Florence, perhaps.
Oh.
Yeah, I do love Florence. And Florence should have been in that other list as well. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's like a big variety of places I've talked about.
Okay, my biggest takeaway from Florence was like the famous sandwich place. Have you
been
there?
What famous sandwich place are you talking about? Okay. I need to know. I'm going tomorrow.
I got to pull the name of this. Well, we'll list it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But basically, it's like very famous sandwich place. So if you Google it, it's in Florence. They have like two, it's like one street, but there are two like windows on each side because I think they've just like grown and gotten that popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the best sandwich you'll have in your entire life. Like the bread is perfect. It's this like thin, almost like ciabatta bread. And then like any fillings you want. I usually do like the prosciutto, like cheese situation, burrata, whatever. And they have like a truffle.
Stop. No.
Like, mushroom like paste.
I can't.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I'm
when
dead.
You go back, you're gonna have to go to this place.
Convenient since I'm going tomorrow.
Oh my God, that's right. You're going back to Italy.
Yes.
That was one of my questions was where are you going next? And we just talked about this. So
yeah. So I'm doing Italy. I'm going to Florence tomorrow, and from there, just you know, going down like doing the countryside, doing Bologna, Verona, Milan, then probably Sicily, Rome, and then back
what
to London.
What a dream.
And I'm pretty excited.
What's like the main thing? Are you going to go to any vineyards? Or are you going to do any, like what's the main thing that you guys are going to tackle while you're there?
Honestly, eating a lot.
Yeah.
Eating a lot, Fair. Exploring, creating. I love, the thing is that so much of what I do like could be contractual obligations or it's a press trip or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know? So I love times when I can go somewhere like Italy and just create for the sake of creating. Mm-hmm. I think it just takes me back to my roots and it's just for me the most fun to do. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Italy's amazing and I'm just excited to like walk around. And Florence for me, I love because the history, like the Medici family is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
The first time I went to Florence, actually so funny. My family and I, we did obviously like a few tours and I became so obsessed with the Medici family. I read like 4 books on them.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with them. I think it's like, it's like a historical soap opera and it's amazing. So yeah, I'm like excited to like perhaps redo a walking tour. Okay, like cool. I love Florence. It's such a good city.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. And then what's your favorite place for like a true holiday, really like turning off?
Either Tulum or Mykonos.
Okay.
Love Tulum. I've been going every year since 2015.
On my list.
Yeah.
Need to go.
And it's like, I saw it at its prime right now. It has like a problem with seaweed. And
I
like,
know. Yeah. I've been reading about this.
It's been getting worse. Like every year I've gone, I've seen it like right in front of my eyes get worse and like see it become a lot more congested and a lot more touristy. But again, like I like it because I know it so well and it's easy for me to just like, I know where I'm going to go eat. Like I know where I'm staying. I know the good spots to like go out at night, all that kind of stuff. So it just feels like an easy holiday.
Yeah.
And Mykonos again, like I just like being by the water, under the sun, like good music, good food, all that kind of stuff. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
So with Tulum, like is the seaweed problem just like, like what is the issue? It's too much.
It's crazy. Like it's like mountains and mountains of seaweed. Like you'll never see anything like it. Like I remember the first time I went to Tulum, it was absolute like clear water. There was no seaweed in sight. I swam in the water, like on the beach. It was amazing. Now, if you go to Tulum, like the last 2 times I've been, it's gotten like progressively worse. And it's just because, there's been rapid development with just the island can't handle it because it's not equipped for so much and they're overpowering it with electricity and it's just not meant to take so much. It's just not. And sort of like the tourism and like how cool quote unquote it's gotten has sort of like almost ruined it, I want to say.
Yeah.
Like the natural bits of it. But again, like it has, I would say one of the best food scenes ever. Like it's like all the New York and LA chefs go and go to Tulum and have these like little like great restaurants, great vibe, awesome people.
Yeah.
I love Tulum. It's a great place. Yeah. So, but the seaweed is, it's unfortunate.
That's insane. It's on my list. Hopefully they figure it out. It makes me think about Fyre Festival and how they were trying to have this insane music festival and they didn't have the infrastructure for it. So it sounds like that's like, it's getting impacted. Just
the nature nature is like saying no. It's it's just like putting up a fuss. Like it doesn't want to be like treated this way anymore by developers in Tulum. Yeah, unfortunate.
Oh my God, that is unfortunate. So I want to get into health and wellness and skincare. Mm-hmm. We're both obsessed. What is your sort of current wellness fix that you're on? I know we're both on the bulletproof coffee grind. You and I have talked about like mushroom coffee. Mm-hmm. Like what's your latest sort of thing that you're hooked on?
Oh gosh. So I always do apple cider vinegar, lemon and water in the morning. I would say I really like celery juice. It's very cleansing for your liver, gets your system going, all that kind of stuff. Ooh. A good one is magnesium.
Okay.
I don't know if people are taking it. I don't know.
I am not. I don't know that much about it.
It's amazing. Okay, so magnesium, I'm coming with my spiel.
Okay. Please
so
do.
Magnesium is a mineral that is needed for all our body's vital functions.
Okay.
So magnesium citrate is the one that I take, and I take a brand called Daily Calm. I have their lemon raspberry flavor. This is completely unsponsored, by the way. I just love the brand so much. So here I am singing their praises. So I have it at night before bed. It's like a natural Xanax. Like it puts you to sleep. It's incredible. Like it's so good for anxiety. I have anxiety and like, I feel like it's helped me so, so much. Puts you to bed. You sleep like a baby. You wake up, your system is going, if you know what I mean.
We like that. We got to get things moving.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So yeah, I love magnesium. It's been something I've taken for like almost a year now, or maybe it already has been a year, and I'm just obsessed with it. Like, anyone I know, like, I'm just that person. If I'm staying with you or like I'm traveling with a friend, I'll always have my magnesium on me and I'll be like, would you like some? And now everyone I know takes it because they love it.
And it's a pill form.
No, this is a powder form. Oh. So you mix it in with hot water. It's like a tea.
Okay.
I get the lemon raspberry flavor. It's like a little treat before bed.
Okay.
It's so good. And like, it's just so good for you. Like, I sleep so well. I can't go anywhere without it.
Okay. Really good to know. That makes me think about collagen powder. Are you into that? Do you think we need to be ingesting collagen?
So, I don't know if you heard my episode with Dr. Dennis Gross.
Okay. Yes,
so
I did actually.
He was like, it's not like it's completely unnecessary for your skin.
Okay. I actually do remember him saying that.
Yeah.
So, ingesting is not necessary.
Yeah, for skin at least, like it is said to have other benefits, like your hair and nails. Mm-hmm. I have it sometimes. I put it into like a wellness elixir I'll do with like mushroom coffee or whatever. So I'll have it sometimes. I'm not super regimented. It's almost like a treat that I'll put into my, like, because I mean, it is good for like collagen is good for you. Like you get it from bone broth. It does have healing effects on your gut. But if we're talking skin, collagen isn't necessary, but collagen is great for your gut health. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great to know. What is your sort of current skincare routine?
Oh man, this is long. So are we talking when I'm traveling, like right now?
Let's do your travel routine because I feel like that is tricky. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously with London, you're checking a bag, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're checking a bag. Yeah. Okay. Cause that, I mean, that probably really changes things.
I mean, I check in a bag everywhere I go. Okay. Like I travel so much, like I'm pretty, like, not pretty. I am fully loyal to one airline group and that's how I've built up enough points that I can check in a bag. Actually two bags wherever I go. So it's just like the best thing to do.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do your travel routine.
So
it's helpful.
With my travel routine right now, I love SLMD skincare. They have like a salicylic acid cleanser.
Okay.
So SLMD skincare created by Sandra Lee, Dr. Sandra Lee. She's the Dr. Pimple Popper.
Wait, yes. That's like on TV all the time and I haven't watched it yet.
Should I be watching that? It's really gross. Like I've only watched bits. I can't stomach it, but she's an incredible dermatologist. And her line is very, very effective when it comes to like, whether it be like a prevention, like acne prevention or treating. Okay. And when I'm traveling, just because I don't have access to like, you know, all my clay masks and like, you know, serums and whatnot, like I just want to be really preventative. And so I love that cleanser. Then I do the Dr. Dennis Gross peel pads, alpha beta peel pads.
Yeah. Those are so amazing, good.
They're incredible. Like they just make your skin glow, like exfoliate you from the inside. Yep. It's just amazing.
Do you use those every day?
Every day. Okay. But if you have sensitive skin,
I think every other day or every few days.
Yes. Yes.
But they are amazing. I stand by that too. I remember like the first time I used it, I'm like, well, why is my skin so glowy and amazing?
Yeah, wow. It's great. It's
those
great.
Those are good. Okay.
And then for toner, currently I'm using the Dr. Dennis Gross C+ Collagen Mist.
Okay.
Which I love, but I do that. I do the Kopari Rosewater Mist as well, which I love. I love the Caudalie one too. I have lots of mists that I like, you know, change.
I feel like I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. Facial mists. I have like 20, like I'm obsessed with
them.
And
so they're good.
So good specifically for travel. Pre-plane.
Yes.
During the plane.
Yes.
After the plane.
Yes. also like in the wintertime, because our skin is like always parched, like I just mist myself throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like it's like that extra like burst of hydration that your skin needs.
Yeah. And for different reasons. Like if you want a toning or if you want a hydrating, you got like everything.
Yeah. So after that, I do hyaluronic acid. So I either do Dr. Barbara Sturm, which is absolutely incredible. Like for high price point, it is a $300 serum. So it's pricey.
Yep.
But I would say it's the best hyaluronic acid in the world. Otherwise affordable. The one that I'm currently using is the L'Oreal Revitalift Hyaluronic Serum as well, which is so, so good. Okay. It has like a super affordable, I think it's like $40.
Okay,
so
amazing.
$40, not pounds. So probably cheaper here. And so, so good. Then I do eye cream and I'm using Beauty by Dr. K, her, what's it called? She just has one eye cream. It's really good though. I interviewed her for my podcast. She has like, it brightens, it de-puffs. It's just a great eye cream.
Okay.
So I do that. And sorry, this is nighttime. I should have clarified. This is my nighttime travel routine.
Cool.
So Yeah, I do an eye cream and then I do a night cream, which is also right now I'm using Beauty by Dr. K, her night cream as well. Very thick, heavy duty. I love it. And then sometimes I do an oil as well. Vintner's Daughter is one of my favorites, I would say. The other one is Elemis Superfood Oil as well, I love.
Yes, that one's great.
Yeah, so I like that a lot. Yeah, I think that is like my nighttime skincare routine.
Okay, cool. Are you into the whole oil cleanser situation that's happening lately?
So for oil cleanser, the one that I use, I don't right now use oil cleanser because I have eyelashes. Like I have eyelash extensions, so I can't.
Makes sense.
Can't go near my eyes with that. But otherwise, I love the Elemis Cleansing Balm. It's like more of like an oil consistency, but it's so nourishing. And
is that the rose
really
one or no?
It's not a rose one, okay, no. Okay, but it's this one's amazing. Like it takes off all your makeup too. It's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
So if you were stranded on a deserted island and you could only take one skincare product with you, what would it be?
I'm going to say sunscreen because everyone needs sunscreen, especially if they're on an island. But if we're not talking sunscreen, then absolutely non-negotiable for me is vitamin C. So vitamin C serum. I personally love SkinCeuticals. I think I use their C Ferulic, yes, which is incredible.
That's such a good one.
So yeah, I would probably say the vitamin C like from them. They're incredible.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
That was so much. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
But before you go, where can everyone find you and follow you?
So my Instagram is Icing and Glitter, just at Icing and Glitter. And then my blog is icingandglitter.com. My podcast is The Dream Bigger Podcast. And yeah, those are all my platforms.
Perfect. So, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Please, please, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. I so appreciate it. And we will catch you on the next episode.